Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to Becoming is Messy, where we dive deep into the journey of survival, transformation, and everything in between. I'm your host, Megan Dawson, here to share the honest, unfiltered stories behind my own process of becoming. Life isn't a pretty and perfect straight line, and neither is becoming the person we're meant to be. Here, we embrace the ups, the downs, and all the beautiful, chaotic, messy moments that shape who we are. Whether you're in the thick of change or reflecting on past transformations, this space is for real conversations about what it means to grow, stumble, and rise again. So get comfy, settle in, and let's get messy. Welcome back to Becoming is Messy. Today, we are exploring what it really means to trust your inner guidance, that quiet, shimmering knowing that lives beneath the noise. Our conversation today embodies the L in Level Up, Let Your Inner Voice Lead. This letter reminds us that our inner voice is always speaking, but we have to be still enough, soft enough, and brave enough to listen. It's the compass that knows long before logic catches up. Our guest today is a living example of that, a reminder that when we quiet the noise and tune into our truth, clarity, creativity, and calm begin to unfold naturally. Jessica Shepherd is a healer, artist, astrologer, and author of a love alchemist notebook, Venus Signs, Karmic Dates and Momentary Mates, and Follow the Moonlit Path. She's also the creator of the Intuitive Energy Divination Deck, a truly unique tool designed to help us hear and feel our own soul's voice again. Through her writing, art, and teaching, Jessica helps rediscover their divine truth, not through prediction or external answers, but by turning inward and learning to become their own best guide. She joins us today from her home in Honolulu, where she lives with her husband, John, her terrier, Magnus, and her sweet little kitten, Bean. Jessica, welcome to Becoming is Messy. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you, Megan. That was a beautiful introduction. And I just want to mention those of you who know me, Magnus recently passed and I need to...
Oh, no.
No.
I'm so sorry. Oh, gosh.
It's only a couple months ago. So you're reminding me that I need to update all my... He was a big part of our life for 13 years. So he is still with us. And so
yes,
my little buddy who always sits beside me. And so he's here. So thank you.
Oh, I love that. Well, let's honor Magnus. And aside from sitting next to you, why don't you share just a favorite memory with Magnus? What's something that stands out from your time together?
Magnus, he is a sweetheart. He was this little funny terrier, funny looking terrier, like a Chinese crested cross with a Dorothy dog. You would look at him and he just makes you smile. The most dominant characteristic of Magnus is just he came to me in a vision before I got him, and he came to me as a circus dog. So that kind of gives you a sense of energy and his just like
yes.
and happiness.
I love that. I feel like his soul is up to something joyous elsewhere.
Oh, he's happy. You've connected. He's happy.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Let's get in. You're welcome. Thank you for sharing. And for today's discussion, if you could just ground us a bit in this current season you're in right now, tell us a little bit of that.
Yeah. Sheesh. This current season I'm in right now is a little bit different from the first 50 years of my life. I feel like a good place to kind of orient is that I am finally in the who I am phase than the who I am not phase. And I feel like the first decades of my life, up until probably about 10 years ago, I was learning about everything I am not, all the things I am not, all that, the beliefs that we circulate and tell ourselves, all the misunderstandings about life. And so I feel like I'm in a really good place right now. I feel liberated in a way that I probably haven't since I was a really small child. And I'm into the world as a small child. Like, I know I'm forgetting everything important. And so that says something right there. Like, I feel like I'm returning to that.
Yes.
That knowing and that grounded confidence and awareness and connection to who I am.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I feel like that coming full circle back to yourself is just so many of the women that I can't connect to that are around our age, I would say. That's been a common phrase that I've heard. And it just feels so peaceful to hear that reflected in others. And I just like to start there. And now thinking backwards, every becoming story does have its mix of a messy path. What were some of those twists and turns in your journey to get you to this place?
Yeah, it's been primarily twists and turns. There's been a lot of adversity from, it's funny, when I was getting ready to come on to your podcast and your title, Becoming is Messy, I was like trying to balance my glass of water, my coffee, and I actually spilled the coffee on the floor. And I'm like, this is perfect synchronicity for what we're talking about.
Yes.
I'm about to drink this delicious coffee, and yet life, it's impossible to get through it without.
That's so true.
Say you have to break an egg to make an omelet.
Yes.
Like, you're going to spill the coffee. And I just feel like from the get-go, pretty young age, not from the very beginning, but around, let's see, age 17, I got really ill. And that took me out of life as we know it. So I had a really early entrained beginning around not belonging, feeling weird, feeling different, feeling like there's something wrong with me. And this illness lasted for years, and it took me out of school. I lost all my friends. It was one of those, if you're familiar with like shamanic initiations, for instance, when you're in a traditional culture, you typically show up with a catastrophe following you. And yeah. So that was like my full catastrophe. It started then, and it just kept folding.
Wow, I so relate. It's like my brain is triggering my first experience with a shamanic healer who did massage and wasn't practicing her shaman practices. I was just there for a massage, but she said, I'm not usually supposed to do this, but I just have to share. You have a lot of karmic debt from your past lives. That makes sense because this life is pretty messy. So I feel like I'm having to clear a lot of stuff in this life. That rang true to me.
Yeah. And likewise, karmic. So moving from that period of extreme illness and figuring out what was wrong with me, which on an old level is nothing, but on a human level, there were a lot of things that I couldn't find answers for.
Yeah.
The conventional approaches didn't. And so that, again, the alienation, the differentness, the not having answers for years thrust me into being who I am now, somebody who has to look outside the box to answer the questions. The answers do not come from, none of us are given a playbook, right?
I feel darn, I know. That would be so nice.
I used to be like, why do you have this? And so I decided the questions I was struggling with, I could not move forward in any capacity, in work, in relationship, in health. Your health is the most essential and vital piece of you. If you don't have that, you can't actualize anything truly. And so I couldn't move forward in any of it without answering some really deep questions. So that began my healing journey and walking this of asking questions, not having answers, figuring out how to find the answers. That led me to astrology. That led me to healers. That led me to, like you, the people who show up in your life who are like, I have a message for you. And it just, this is the path for you. This is part of one of my midlife wisdom gleanings that I feel really grateful to finally have, is that your adversity, it's not just like a nice little affirmation. Your adversity is actually your sacred path.
So true. Yeah, I know. I often say I still agree with that sentiment that our wounds are where we find our purpose. And what you're describing is just so relational to how I experienced transitioning from healing my own trauma journey and then translating that into now the work that I'm doing. And yeah, so share a bit of that transition for you. I think it's just so helpful. We'll get to a few questions today, really addressing our listeners that are in that rock bottom or maybe up to the messy middle. And it can feel so daunting and it can feel like the world's against you. But for somebody who's walked that healing path for yourself, how did you start taking those steps then to help others with the things that you had learned along that journey?
Yeah, it's been like a spiral. Like I've been able to tap into once, like you said, once you find that, oh, there's an answer for this. And so if I have this question, if I have this wound, if I have this need for healing, other people must have it too. And that feels purposeful. So I'm going to walk towards that and see if I can offer something here. So I've felt, okay, I've gotten answers at different points, but then the game would shift again. Like dramatically for me.
Totally.
Then it's you're doing this, but now you're not. And so for those people in transition, it was like that. That has been an often frustrating, scary place to be. You're like, I just figured this out, got this down. And there's a part of the world that wants us to, once we find the hammer, to keep using that hammer, right?
Yes.
To keep doing that one thing and like to have your name on the door as this and identify as that for the rest of your life. And some of us are just like, we can't do that. I grow too fast.
Yeah, it's so true.
I grow at the pace I need to grow. Yeah. So like when I started, the astrology started pouring out of me and then I started being able to give other people a sense of meaning and purpose and bigger picture to what's happening for them in that moment. So that was a pretty good run for me.
Yeah.
So I did that for a long while. I would say almost 2 decades of consulting. And then I would fold other new things into that as I progressed on my path. So I found ways to widen my tool belt and still use that same tool. But then at a certain point, that even fell apart. I want to say, it's not that it stopped working for me. It just showed up as very limited in terms of what I needed to move through next. So that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, there goes my professional life, which I...
Oh, totally. I'm in that right now. Oh, it's so true.
Building. Yeah. I was living in the Bay Area for a long time, which was a pretty awesome hub for that type of profession. I was well known. I'd published books. And then it was like, this is not going to do this. And then it's like, what am I going to do? So I'll just walk you through what the...
Yes. I'm so excited to hear what happened next and where that led you. And I feel we've kicked this episode off with that trusting your inner voice. And I feel like what you're describing is just that example where it doesn't mean that inner voice is always saying easy things. It's saying to you in this moment, ditch your 20-year career and jump into something new.
Or even
what did that like, jump, right?
You don't even... I was able to grok at that.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't there yet. And so what happened for me was I was living in the Bay Area and I had an awakening that was essentially... my awareness was opening up on a feeling and sensory level. I was feeling energies going on around me. I began feeling the next door neighbors, what was going on with them. I began feeling things that my best friend wouldn't tell me, but I knew was going on with her, my empathic. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was an empath, but
yep.
I was an empath. And I can't tell you why these things are so mysterious, why that shift happened when it did and what all the elements were. I don't know. I just know that I started feeling everything and it absolutely terrified me. And I did not have a roadmap for this. And so I needed one. I needed something. So I looked to the astrology charts and I'm like, this is like sorely lacking in an explanation around this sensory blowout that I'm having. And so I started looking for teachers and I called that in and found a really good teacher who helped me understand what I was experiencing, which is essentially the opening of my empathic awareness, energy sensitivity, all these aspects of myself in this that I'd been pushing away to feeling. So feeling was a big problem for my family. There were like, when the feelings came out, they were scary because one parent would rage and the other parent would go into depression.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
And I never really felt there was a place for this part of me. And it's such an essential part of me.
Yes, right.
And pushing away and blocking out. So when this whole awakening occurred, I had to make peace. I had to heal. I had to address this conditioned thought and these judgments on myself and this shame on myself that I'm too sensitive, too emotional, too little. You know, I had already had the whole baggage of don't belong, too different, something wrong with me. So it was like this catastrophe. It was massive. And it just rocked my world. And I would still say this to this day, like I've talked to people who have gone through a near-death experience. I feel like I went through something in this body that I wouldn't do ever again because I thought to be reborn, to have this totally different reality. It's just like everything that was night went to day. It just the opposites. And like I said, I was living in the Bay Area and I was starting to try to understand what was happening. I was starting to develop a daily practice, which is huge, around managing my energy and understanding what's mine and what wasn't, and how it feels to be me and how it feels to be the next door neighbor or the town next to me. And so living in the Bay Area, what came to light was that I never really liked it. I moved there after my mother died to be with my sister, and I did that after college. And then it had its, obviously, it had its great moments. I met my husband there, but it was always really a challenging place for me. And then this started happening, and I started realizing that I never felt I belonged. I wasn't getting much pleasure from this area. My body was sorely deprived of pleasure. And like when you're uncomfortable, if you can imagine, just like having daily pain, this was like a daily energy symptom of just being held down. And I wasn't able to refill the cup in any way around me. And I wasn't able to easily listen to that inner voice because there was so much. And so I was like, I don't even trust my intuition.
Yeah. Which one is even mine? What's mine versus others? And trying to, for so many of us, it's hard enough to tap into our own inner voice, let alone spiritually when you're an empath and getting so much of that receiving your community. That's a lot to navigate without that roadmap that we talked about.
Yes. So I was learning the map as I was doing it. Like all of us, right?
Yep.
And I had some help from a teacher that really helped me move along. And what I began to realize was that whatever was going on with me, I needed to leave the Bay Area, as a large part of my experience was comprised of these competitive ego energies going on around me. And I was slowly starting to understand that's not who I am.
Yep.
Those things I'm feeling and when I'm in these situations, or at that point it was in my house. Like it wasn't about even leaving, going, being in a, like a social situation and feeling all these things. It was like coming at me. But there was something in me that was like, wait a second, this isn't the way it's supposed to be for me. And that inner voice got louder and the world started sending me signs, right?
Of course. Okay.
Cars started hitting my car.
Okay.
Or I like said to my husband, and he was really fighting me on this too. He was like, I don't want to leave the Bay Area. He was really locked into the University of California where he'd been for years. He was really invested in this mythos, which now he sees it was. But
yeah,
but then it was real. And
yeah.
I would like try and chip away at it. And I think it took me a good year of receiving those signs, the volume getting turned up so loud in terms of dissonance I was experiencing, that cars were coming at my car. A tree almost fell on my office. That was the event right before I was like,
yeah, I was going to say, the universe is just like, it is time for you to go. I'm just going to start getting louder. So you better start listening.
That was like a month before, I just sat my husband down and I said, you come with more. I love you.
Of course.
I felt that on an intuitive level, that's another thing.
Of course.
The inner knowing that this wasn't just my journey, it's his journey too.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I really
totally. Yeah. And I so relate to what you're saying, because as you start doing this kind of work, and I think the experience you're describing is applicable to anybody who's like getting that inner voice, starting to listen to their body, starting to learn how to hold space for their feelings. Their bodies are going to tell them something different. It may not be that they're empaths, but their body is going to tell them what they need to do next.
That's right.
And sometimes that is in conflict with our relationships, with our jobs, with everything that we know in our life. And I think that part of our purpose is to bring people along on that journey and help them understand that I've been married to my husband now for almost 10 years. And even though he's seen, proven out how in my life synchronicity works, how law of attraction works, I feel like still getting him to trust in that sometimes. Because for him, it's just different. He doesn't have that same spiritual experience that I do. And so I feel like I'm continually having to make the case, get people around me to trust what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally resonate with that. I mean, John has gotten so much better over the years, and to the point where he's letting go more.
Yeah.
He to take the lead, because he's seen so many times how, let me take the lead and let me show you.
Exactly. I think that's a good topic. We'll have to come back together someday and talk specifically about supporting our partners on these kind of journeys, and how can we help arm them to be able to support their spiritual partner's journey.
Yeah. So yes. That for me was like owning my own power.
Yeah.
Word.
For sure.
And trusting myself, like, and being in, like, the body is so important to me, obviously, feelings.
Yeah.
I think that for women, especially, and in this culture, we basically had feeling and sensing amputated. I don't know why, other than it serves some people and not others, but the listening to your body, listening, like actually making that space and time to still and self, what is it that I need? What is it I want? Like very basic questions, and really getting out of the mind and letting your greater awareness or your soul or your connection, whatever you want to call it, answer that for you.
Yeah.
If I hadn't had that practice at that point of going into my body, recognizing what truth feels like in my body, like that's big. What is
truth? Yeah, it is. It's a game changer in your whole life. To me, I totally can hear you in that shift where you had the before and after feeling, because once you know that, you can't unknow it. It's the most powerful thing, but it also is, it can be scary.
Because people around you aren't talking about this.
Exactly. Right?
And the mirror and going, yeah, girl, I feel that truth in my root too. Nope.
It's so true. Like, oh my gosh. Like, yes. I so agree.
But I know. And my husband, it will say to me, how do you know that it's going to?
Yeah, that's true.
That. So I said, we're going to move. I don't know where we're going to move. And are you coming with me? And wow. He was like, how do I know that wherever we move, you're not going to go and get energy experiences there too?
And it's just, yes.
And look,
yeah, good call. That might happen.
I can.
Yeah.
you know, what this is telling you.
Yeah, so far, the knowing is telling you you're going to leave your career and you're going to leave your home, you know, where you're living, but you don't know what you're going to do or where you're going to go. And so yet somehow here you are and you have a beautiful home and you're doing great work. So somehow your path led to those things.
Somehow, when we listen to our authentic self, when we really know what that feels like inside our body, the universe like conspires to help us. Well, who says now, like whole universe wants to help us awaken, find our true joy.
Our right situation,
be in our right place, be in our right job, be with our right partner. And so I just threw the gauntlet down to John and he ran with it and he ended up manifesting a job interview in Hawaii. But the offer that was made him versus other places was like triple.
Wow, incredible.
So anyways.
Yes.
And so, of course, that got him to trust me a bit more.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. I love that it was him that got clarity on his job step. Like, that is such a great part of this.
He was able, like, for the first time, he sat down with himself and he asked, where am I going? What's my 10-year plan? And can this current situation meet that? And then he actually went out there. He's a scientist. He went out into his paradigm and tested it and said, can I meet this 10-year plan here? And people literally said no.
Yeah.
And then he took that vision to Hawaii and they were like, sure, and we'll pay you a lot.
Yeah. Incredible. What a good part of this story. I feel like with all the places the universe could have pulled you to, I think you landed pretty good there. That sounds incredible. Just thinking of your spiritual work in such an aligned place, like it just sounds pretty divinely manifested.
It's definitely divinely led.
Yes.
Moments. And it's not, there's a lot of blind faith and there's the trust and there's the not knowing. And there's the kind of, what do I know? That's a big question for me too. I don't know these things, but I do know this. I do know how I feel in this situation. I do know what I don't like. I do know what I do like. I do know these things. And so if I can help my ego or that part of myself that hasn't learned to trust yet, to get to the place where, hey, there's a container here. It's all going to be okay. It's just sink in that you're invited to. And I just was doing this with myself this morning. You're invited to have the experience of trusting in this deeper confidence, this deeper love, this deeper sense of knowing. I'm inviting you, ego. I'm inviting you, that part of myself that isn't quite sure about this whole thing yet, to step in to that part of you. I think that's what we're missing in our,
yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Connection.
Yes.
Part of ourself that is so much wiser. Yeah. Peaceful.
Yeah.
Us with open arms.
Yes. And honestly, that's the importance of the work that we're doing. And more and more people that are buying into this and finding their own voice. I think this is a huge opportunity for a massive shift.
I do too.
As more people embrace, it feels like that to me, that we're in a time where more and more people are getting this kind of work and realizing that we don't have to hustle and grind and wear ourselves out. And instead, when we do the work we're talking about today, life really does unfold. It just does. It flows from us almost. And it's, I don't have the right word even, because it's not that it's effortless. It's just peaceful and it flows.
Yeah. And once you like taste that, I think that people, I don't know, that there's this whole, we're in this kind of sludge of lots of technology and lots of distractions and lots of noise. And I feel like there's this deep draw, maybe as a result, towards what's real and what you can feel and what you can experience and taste and touch and scent.
Very much.
Right?
Yes. And what it's,
you know, is like comprised of all that.
That's what we know. Yeah. That's how we were raised. It's like you work hard to be successful. It's like you do 9 to 8 and work your whole life and then you retire when you're old.
Yeah, it's not necessary, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly, right? So then walk us forward to establishing yourself in Hawaii. And where did you pick up to start bringing your voice to other people?
Oh, yeah. So I'm still doing that. It's a lifelong process.
So bring us up to the work part of your becoming journey.
Yeah. So it really had to flip at some point.
Yeah.
It had to flip from I'm here helping you find your answers to your questions to I'm here just learning how to be here for me. I had to step back. I wanted to. And that was hard years to get behind that part of myself that actually wanted to stop doing sessions, wanted to just, what does this person want? What does this person need? What can I get to myself today? I was raised in this codependent family, and being a healer, often we just naturally give ourselves out and we just generously give. That was how I plugged the holes in my family dynamics. And eventually I was like, I'm not wanting to plug anybody's holes anymore. I just don't. I don't even want to do it with the client work. I want to get back to me. I stopped working with people.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
I've always been a writer and an artist. That kind of stepped into the fore. I think we're so much more multidimensional than we ever give ourselves credit for. I certainly was. And so I think that was part of my fear of stepping away from being the helper and the healer in that capacity was like, what if there's nothing else? What if this is who I am? Well, it turns out there's other parts of me. I was ready to do other things. And I started focusing on my art, doing more drawing, writing more poetry. And then another book came out of me that actually was astrology rooted, but Follow the Moonlit Path was more about my journey of getting to the place I was, I guess, early 2020s. It was very, it all back inward. And it was very COVID timely too.
Yeah.
So looking at the birth chart as a way to find that innermost self, that part of you that is obscured and not really invited to the lunch table. This is the part of ourself that doodles. And
yes,
takes long walks and is whimsical and does things for no other reason than for joy. So I was embracing that part of myself.
That was wonderful.
That was a big shift for me. And then I also, because I was still learning how to be an energy sensitive energy being and what it meant for me, I found that it was going to be fulfilling for me to give myself up. Going back to the guidebook. So you'll notice a theme with my books.
This was great.
Right? I've always been like, I want a manual for this thing called life because
same.
I've forgotten so much. So I wanted a manual for this kind of aspect of myself that was coming into deeper connection with the I am, which I got to know as my true self, which I got to know as peace, love, kindness, ease, bliss, beauty, grace. Oh, when I feel that way, that's actually who I am.
Yeah.
That's actually true. And the other stuff is either energy from other people or conditioned thoughts that gather energy and beliefs. But essentially who I am is light.
So that's right.
I created this deck. Intuitive energy divination deck, which you mentioned.
Yes.
I didn't even know intuitive energy was a
divination.
And then a divination deck. So,
yes.
So it's one of those tools that allows you to tap your intuition.
Yes.
See your body, come back into your true self knowing.
I saw written somewhere from you describing it, not just as cards, but calling it an energy system.
It is.
And I liked that phrase. So how did that idea come to life? And just talk a little bit about how it's used.
Okay. So it's interesting because I was breaking away from becoming a person for other people. Sort of becoming the, I didn't want to be in that role anymore. I wanted to do it for me. And I wanted to be able to trust my own answers. And I still had this teacher that I'd been working with. And a part of that relationship, it was time for that to evolve and for me to be my own source. It was very hard for me because that was a very traumatic unfolding. And my teacher was a really core person helping me through this. But I just felt this need for autonomy, to find my own answers, to not bring my questions to her anymore. In fact, to the point where I started basically like, she started making me angry. These things happen when you know it's time, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I started having these uncomfortable experiences when it never before happened with her. Yes. So I was like, okay, but I still feel like we've been working on this system because all of these themes that are in this deck that I now have, it was just like, and I saw these flashcards intuitively come through. And it's just like those cards that you had in school for math, where you would just, these flashcards, the times.
Yes.
And they just started dropping into my awareness. And they had these things like judgment. And they said things like guilt. And they said things like be light. And they said things like intuition and self-acceptance. And they just started coming. I channeled them. I can't say it any other way. I had a need for them. I needed the guidebook. I needed to be able to break away from the teacher. I decided it was going to happen. And I sat down and I channeled them. I did 6 a day until they were done. It was the easiest writing project I've ever done in my life.
Oh, that's the best. Oh, when you're in that state of flow, I call that, it is just, oh, it's the best.
It was so great. And then I was like, it gave this document to an editor. She like barely changed anything about it. That was like, what? As a writer, the editing is the part where we really write, but it was just like so clean and so clear. And that's why I think it's also an energy system, because you feel that when you draw a card or question, you can feel that clarity, that proximity to light. And because that's when it was coming through.
Yes. Yeah, I am thinking of some of your other work. I was reading about your Vesta retreat.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I love the idea of focusing on aligning with our sacred calling. I'm resonating with just so much of how you're describing how you got to the point where you stopped solving for others.
Yeah.
And you just started solving for yourself and starting identifying what you need. And this has been my most recent level up, has been really finally getting the understanding that I need to be in touch with what is my energetic best state. If I can just get to a point where I can just be my best feeling self, not in a numbed way, but in an embodied way, an inspired way, a healed way, if I can just focus on that, so much flows through that. And it just, that's how I feel like my then life manifests. And so much is coming from that. And so when I read the idea about this retreat tied to a sacred calling, that's what resonated with me. And just curious, in a space like that, in your words, what does that mean to you? And what does that look like for people?
Yeah, to be in one sacred, I think what you just described right there is it.
Is it? This is just like you said, that it's just came to you. This seriously has been like, I feel like I've had a few years of just struggle and doing all the things that have always worked for me, even spiritually, doing all the things. And then all of a sudden, I just had a hardship in the last couple of weeks. And it was like a click. And just, this is the phase I'm in now, is just this kind of ease and comfort.
Yes.
With just focusing on my own energy. And that alone, so much is coming from that. It's so powerful.
It's amazing. I think especially as women, as healers, it's like trained out of us, right?
Yeah.
Sit in that space of what do I want and what do I need and what do I want to do? One of the things that came for me when I decided to break away from doing the work for others, I just went with my ideas that were making me feel good.
Yeah.
Like I'm in my front porch sipping coffee, watching nature, being like, this is my best life. Oh my God, I'm experiencing my best life and I'm doing nothing. And then I'd be like, what could make this even better? And then I thought, I want to start this totally boutique website. And I called it Butterflies and Coffee. And I filled it with dresses because I'm a big dress person. And I filled it with my art and my poetry. And I just started doing it. And I hired a web designer. And I thought, this is so frivolous. I really had a hard time giving myself permission to do something that had no inherent earning power. Bright lights. This is the thing. This is the next big thing. And that's what made me realize how attached I was to this conditioning of culture that says we have to be doing something to serve this ambition, this survival mentality to this. Even like the spiritual teachers, I felt like it became a time for them to evolve out of this, like finding your purpose became such a material thing. Everything got really materialistic.
Yeah, that's so true.
And what if we just did something because of how it made us feel?
That's right. Yes. I think that shift is just a very powerful one. When I used to think of the word purpose, I used to tie that to specifically, what is my job? What is my job title? I feel like even in this conversation, I feel myself being a little challenged because I'm newer in this part of my level up journey in embracing this philosophy. I feel like I'm still in that transition. I haven't moved to Hawaii yet. I'm early just considering it.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Whatever that is, yes. But absolutely. I feel like I'm in that early recognition and feeling it, and it's just snowballing. I'm having so many synchronicities and so many great signs, so I know I'm in that space. But I even feel myself, like even in this conversation, that like tension between the words that we typically use. It's like, how did you then make money from this? How did you then serve others? I just love the different perspective, and it so resonates with where I'm at right now, and it's very empowering. So I feel like I'm just meant to meet you and learn about your journey because of that.
I love that you name that tension too, like that pull to service.
Yes.
So strong for so many of us. And it did take me years to break away and just decide that I'm morally just being, just sitting in my garden.
Just being.
Just playing with my cat. That's service. And that's actually, I've started to think about a lot of that stuff differently, that I'm anchoring light on my little corner of the world just by this self-acceptance, this allowance, this breaking away from the conditioned culture that's driving people away from themselves.
Yes, yeah, so true. So for this, I just have one more question in this section, and then we're going to shift over to a little bit of a kind of a rapid, real kind of quick hit questions. But for this section, the question that's coming up for me is just thinking of, in particular, the women in my life that are still in that hustle, that just are stressed, are worn out from work, are not fulfilled in their careers, and just exhausted. And wondering, when you think of folks in that space, what are some kind of tips or perspective on where to even start to get off that hamster wheel? Because it's just, it is, we talked, it's so ingrained in us. It's a habit. It's, we don't know any different. And so if you're going to start making some small changes, what could they be?
Yeah. So it is, when we don't have a template because nothing's shown to us, we don't know what's possible. So I think the first step is to create that for yourself, create the sacred space, create for me the practices of drawing boundaries.
Yep. Boundaries. That's like my favorite word.
Drawing boundaries on your time so that you every day, for a certain amount of time, I do this twice a day, no matter what, you take time to sit with yourself and reconnect your body, not to drop out of your mind. That's a big thing. I think that's, for me, my next kind of calling is helping, like what you're, this question you're asking, helping people understand how to get in back into the body, into feeling and sensation, to prefer it over being in the mental. Because I think a lot of people, especially exploring meditation, I don't meditate. I've never been able to meditate. I don't like meditation. Let me put it that way. I like being in my body, just like when you do yoga and you get feedback, or you do Qigong or Tai Chi, you get that, oh, this feels good. So developing a practice where you feel good in your body in a really nice, calm, neutral, present way, I think is ground zero.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. That is good. So just starting out, just learning how to get to that place, that is huge.
And like you said, like the boundary, like that first step of creating a boundary of time is like probably 95% of this. It's hard for people, right?
Not true.
Well, so we could say this, and we could say this is a great idea, and this is how you start listening to your intuition.
Yes.
Step one, and how many people are actually going to do it?
That's so true.
I apologize to all your listeners, but how many of you are actually going to? I was a health coach. I gave advice for a long time that nobody took. And
yeah, I feel like you get to a point where you have to learn how to sit with yourself and just be. And so much good comes from that, I swear. I feel like the more we can repeat that, only good can come from that.
I just offer something very basic.
Like yes, please.
I don't do meditation, but I do.
Yes.
Just. So on a very basic level, for those of you who don't know how to even enact what I'm talking about, like, how do I drop out of my head? So this is what I do. I just put my feet on the ground and I feel my back of the chair. I feel the support underneath me. And I really start to just tune into my sensory body and my awareness. And then I take, this is my mantra, and it's spine, seat, legs. And as you do that, you can start to, you'll naturally start to feel energy. You'll start to feel, as you say, spine, legs, feet. First, it'll just be your awareness going to all the parts, right? But the longer you do that, and like over time and minutes too, but over time, over months, whatever, you start to sense more going on in your energy body. You start to notice sensations, and that's how you start to drop out of your head. And then you become interested as though like you're watching a flower, the warps and the sensation. Yes. And then you drop a little deeper and you breathe, right? That is my basic, that's like how to get back into my embodied energy, how to get back into, do I feel good? What's going on with me? Mm-hmm. Seat, legs and feet. And then just running energy through. And
yeah.
You can start to use color. You can use the orb, golden light.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. I did a little bit myself, and I already can feel my energy just bringing me even that much more present.
I mean, you can feel the tingle of it, right?
Like you just do. Yes. It's just, it's a little bit of a mini high on life. Yeah. So these next, just a few more kind of quick hit questions. Do you have a morning ritual or a nighttime wind down that you hold really sacred?
I just gave it to you.
Yeah, that's it. Is that how you start your day, end your day, both?
So the way I start it, just like that.
Yeah.
What I do is, like I said, I start to feel myself, and you start to feel a little bit of, you named that little bit of bliss, that little bit of peace, something that lit. Oh, that's interesting. Then I invite light.
Yes.
Like, so light. And then to me, like I have my own color, or I'll have a color that I'm working with, and I'll sometimes give it a texture. That's really important for me as a person who deals with chronic pain. I'll often bring some like liquid honey, pouring liquid honey energetically throughout my whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, if you do this consistently, you can't not be in your light.
What currently in your life is really exciting?
See, what is lighting me up? I've been podcasting.
Yes.
Noah has.
Yes. Our shared connection, our friend Noah. So for those listening, they've heard me mention Noah a few times, and Noah helps find guests for the show and connect. He's such a great connector. I think he's one of the best connectors. Every person, you know, that he's either brought me as a guest to their show or welcome to this space, they feel so aligned. I feel like just brings the right people together.
I agree. He is. Everybody needs a Noah. Everybody needs.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, totally. Oh. Shout out to Noah. So that just lit me up. I feel like just thinking about Noah, a good guy.
So the podcast, like this, like you, you're a little bit further along in the game in the podcasting. And we were talking a little bit before you hit record about like how that's fine. And so like these kind of higher level conversations where we get to talk about things that people don't get to talk about in their everyday is satisfying. And it just, once I started doing it, and then I would get off these sessions and then I could feel the other person being leveled up.
Yes.
Happening. And I'm like, okay, speaking to your calling.
Yes.
Like
that's totally.
Yeah, that's a good sign. When you feel lit up from a conversation, like to me, you were meant to meet, and there's reason for that. And so
not only that, like a calling sign too. Like,
yeah.
That's that I'm doing exactly what I am meant to be doing.
Yes, so true. It's validation. I feel like to me, these calls are validating. And I feel also they challenge me to grow. And so it's like I'm leveling up, but also contributing my calling. And I feel validated and seen. And it's just like the perfect universe mix. What is an example of a food or a meal that is your go-to for healing nourishment? Like really just makes you feel good.
It's so funny because I was all prepared to talk about food sensitivities with you. We did touch on that. That's been a big part of my journey is food sensitivity. Yeah. So I eat a really crazy, by traditional, conservative, conventional standards way, like a keto / anti-candida diet. I don't eat any grains or sugars. I haven't led a sugar lifestyle in decades. One of my favorite meals is tacos. We have taco salad night.
Oh, yes.
Meals that's super comforting and I can eat it. I can't eat macaroni and cheese anymore. I eat all those things, but I can't eat the taco salad.
Yeah, so I love it. I feel aligned. My husband asked me a little while ago, can we make tacos for dinner tonight? So we'll be having some taco meat with dinner tonight. But that sounds delicious. Last one of these, and you've done this a little bit already, but just re-circle back to the description of how you feel when you're fully aligned.
When I'm fully aligned, I feel, like you said it, lit from within. I feel I'm in my light. I feel peaceful. I feel joyful. I feel content. Not that kind of excited or caught up more a... Oh my God, my cat just climbed my screen. She's contributing to the conversation.
Oh, I thought she was going to live out my teenagers and I Snapchat and there's like a filter where the cat just comes in and like climbs on your head and stuff.
I'm sorry.
Those are great.
Yeah, when I'm in alignment with myself, I feel all of those things and more. And I just feel like I'm a part of a greater fabric.
To me, I feel like I would describe my alignment for feelings very similar. And I feel like one of my just kind of simple checks lately has been, does the majority of my life feel that way? I'm not perfect and there's things that I'm a human and I still have stress and sadness and anger. I still have emotions, but majority of the time, am I feeling what you described? And for me, if I am feeling that way, I feel like I'm doing a great job doing all of my work on myself and staying aligned and present. And it's not a judgment. It's more if I'm feeling a lot less of those things, it's just, I need to dig into that. I need to see what's going on and dig in to understand what's happening there because I don't want to be misaligned a majority of the time.
And I think too, just to next level out, what you're saying is that even within those feelings of sadness, the humanness, you can get to a place where you feel peaceful and generally good.
Yes.
Even though you're having that experience.
Yes. And so true.
The integration of light into the human experience, the divine, because we're meant to have the sadness. We're meant to have the stumbles. We're meant, like,
right.
Me, like, just even just like with that invitation I was suggesting earlier is that the invitation to that part of yourself who isn't quite there yet, but can you feel that underneath this, underneath the sadness, underneath the frustration, there's still this basic peace. There's still even a hum of joy. You can feel it.
Yeah, so true. Yes, I love that. That's great. All right. So before we get to the final question, one, is there anything we didn't touch on? I know you mentioned food sensitivity. So if there's anything you wanted to share from that or if there's anything else you wanted to call out along with how folks can connect with you and your work, I'll also share that information when I post the podcast. So I'll pause there and see what's coming to mind.
Yeah, let's see. I think sensitivity and embracing that used to be a burden for me, as you might caught on from. It used to be quite a burden. And I think this is probably a bigger conversation about turning the burden into the gift. Because everything that I thought, and just as a small example, food sensitivity used to be the thing that alienated me from belonging, kept joining in joyful aspects of life, come to realize that it's actually own sensitivity to very specific foods has to do with the problems of the world and the
food
we've been taught that are okay for our bodies, but aren't. And all of those sensitivities that used to bother me, and there was a lot less available to me when all my food sensitivities. And now there's like keto, there's grain-free, there's gluten-free, there's sugar-free. Oh my God, it's like night and day from when my journey with that aspect began. But I guess where I'm headed with this is that that's a part of what I feel, along with connecting to your inner knowing. I think that sensitivity, transforming that from a burden and deep inner knowing, is on my kind of, it lights me up.
Yes, I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And where can folks connect with you?
Substack is called Soft Human Words. It's a newsletter platform, but it's also where I post my podcast. And so you can read my writing. It's jessicashepherd.substack, just my name. And also I'm doing Qigong on there a little bit.
Cool.
I teach with the Department of Parks and Recreation here in Hawaii. So I'm actually starting to post some Qigong, which is another way to really connect with your body and feel good in your body.
That's great. Our final question, we have listeners right now who might find themselves in a tough place, their own messy middle or rock bottom. When you've found yourself in the past in some of those low points, what advice do you wish would have come soon?
I think that we always have this capacity to know that it's all okay. That it's all not only going to be okay, but it's all okay right now. And for me, I can tune into that in my body and really get that. That for anybody to be able to feel that as a knowing inside your body that it's all okay right now. No matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening in your personal life, no matter where you are in your journey, if you can feel that, you are connected. Just follow that ley line. Follow that line. And it really does come down to, like, you think it or you believe it, but then you can know it in your body.
So true. Thank you so much, Jessica. I have loved our conversation. I could talk to you all day. Your reminder that our intuition isn't something we earn, but something we return to.
Okay.
It just feels like such medicine for this moment.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for that.
That's beautiful.
So to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and showing up for your own becoming. Remember, your inner voice has been with you since the beginning. The work isn't to find it, it's to clear the noise so you can hear it again. Here are three simple ways to embody the level up competency, let your inner voice lead. 1, create silence on purpose. Spend 5 minutes today with no music, no phone, no conversation. Just breathe and listen. Tap into some of the exercises that Jessica walked us through. 2, ask before you act. Before responding to an email or making a decision or saying yes, pause and simply ask your body, does this feel like a yes or a no? In my opinion, if it feels like a maybe, I think that it's a no. My husband and I are big on, does this feel like a fuck yeah? And if it doesn't feel like a fuck yeah, it's a no. So check in with yourself. Right? Yeah. Be solid with your yeses and it'll just be a huge difference maker. And notice how your truth speaks. That's the third one. For some, intuition is a whisper. For others, it's a full body sensation. Start learning what your language for knowing is. Until next time, Messies, remember your inner voice always knows the way home. Trust her.
Before we wrap today, I want to invite you to be part of the Becoming is Messy community. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if there's anything that resonates with you, please leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps other people find this community. Follow me on social media. I'd love to hear your ideas for future topics, your questions, and stories from your own messy moments. And if you're feeling inspired, check out the Becoming is Messy shop, where you can grab a mug, a t-shirt, or something else that reminds you to embrace your messy magic every single day. A huge thank you to the incredible Wolves and Sheep for providing the music for Becoming is Messy. Check them out on your favorite music streaming platform. As we close out today's episode, remember this. Messy is just another word for growing. So keep showing up, keep laughing, and keep making beautifully awkward progress. Until next time, stay messy, my friends.